This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Now, I don't know if you read The Guardian, but...
I do from time to time, but I actually... I have this in my saved article, so I haven't actually read it.
Well, it's a must. So, for those of you who read The Guardian, there was an amazing piece written by a young man called Mitch Hibbins, who is gay, he's Indigenous, and he writes about his experience about being a gay cisgender man who has an Indigenous background and his experience of discrimination and racism. And we thought it was so powerful. Yeah. I thought it was so powerful. Fiona thought it was so powerful that we decided to ask Mitch to come into the studio. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning to you both. It's great to be here.
And welcome. Welcome. Thank you. And don't be shy.
I'll try not to be.
Now, Mitch, what prompted you to write that piece?
Look, I think it's been something that I've reflected on over a number of years, and whilst it speaks to my experience, it also speaks to a lot of other queer black people's in the community's experiences around race and racism. And so I was hosting Indigenous X, which is a really large Twitter rotating account for the week, and part of that kind of arrangement.
I want to ask you what that is all about.
Yeah,
but we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But so it was kind of... I thought a lot about what I wanted to write about because I'm actually a leadership scholar, so it's not really, you know, I could have wrote about that, but no one really wants to hear about that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit of, about my experiences and hope that it resonated.
I found it incredibly powerful and incredibly moving. But I'm still trying to understand, was there an incident or an event or an accumulation of experiences that prompted you to actually want to articulate your experience with racism, which is exactly what you're talking about?
It wasn't necessarily a single event. I think it's just been something, I think particularly in light of the same-sex marriage kind of conversations that we've had over the last couple of years, that for me as a light-skinned Aboriginal person, I guess I have access into a lot of different spaces because of that. And I'd almost seen from many of, the white gay community that had kind of given up. The battle was won and we were still experiencing all these other things. So I thought, no, we need to keep talking about this. We need to still have this conversation because there's people being left behind.
Mitch,
you can't... You know, as a community, we cannot and we have to stop. You know, we say we stand up for equality and diversity, and as a community, too many people in our community and too much of our community discriminate on the basis of race. And, you know, it's actually not okay to say, you know, I don't think it's okay to say on dating sites and other contact means, know of this particular race or of this particular colour or that particular religion. I just find it deeply offensive, but as a community we actually need to face up to it. We actually need to address it. We can't ask to be treated equally. Except in this instance.
Maka, the point that I wanted to make earlier on as Mitch was speaking was that a lot of people think that because marriage equality exists now, that the struggle for equality is over.
It's actually restarted.
In fact, it's not. And that's, I think, what you're saying, Mitch, is that people have glossed over all this other stuff that still exists.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it speaks to a level of privilege. And I mean, I have to acknowledge my own privilege in this space that, you know, I have an academic, I've, you know, got light skinned and all those kind of things that are actual privileges to move through the world with a lot more ease. But being part of a community such as the queer Indigenous community, I have, you know, people within that I see experiencing not only racism, but, you know, even at a structural level, health policy, for example, and the Closing the Gap report and kind of the Australian government response to Indigenous health and education and economics indicators, there was no mention of queer Indigenous people up until this year.
Yeah.
So why are we homogenised into a completely, you know, we're erased. So, and our needs are unique and different. We need to have a specialised response. So it's part of a bigger picture of discrimination in our communities.
And that's a very good example of structural discrimination, yep, or institutional discrimination. Yep. Tell us about other forms of discrimination that exist for somebody like yourself, for example.
Well, look, I've obviously used in the article spoke about the dating site stuff.
Yep.
And I guess my experiences with racism or discrimination on those platforms is a little bit different to someone who appears visibly Aboriginal. So I'm what we would call phenotypically ambiguous. You can't kind of pick what I am. And ironically, it proves a bit of a challenge for this fascination on these dating apps where people like, my favourite, well, actually, it's not my favourite phrase, but it's always, what's your nasho? And I'm like...
Nasho?
I don't know. Could it be more bogan than that?
Yeah.
What's your nasho?
And this preoccupation to kind of classify is bizarre, but it also speaks to a lot of, you know, really about white supremacy, if we're really honest, is about classifying people.
Yeah.
And that just permeates into these spaces.
It's... you know, and when you actually talk about this issue with people, you know, on the dating and contact sites, oh, you know, I don't have anything against dark-skinned people. I just prefer others. Like, oh, yeah, well, let's sanitise it. You know, let's just call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's racism.
It's racism, but I think people are socialised to believe that it's a preference because what has been that they've never been exposed, particularly, you know, to people of colour or Asian people. It's always been, you know, I grew up in a small town in regional New South Wales. The only Asian family were the people who owned the Chinese restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So people have these caricatures or tropes about...
Yeah.
It's been normalised because the media and our society has a lot to do with that kind of behaviour.
Sorry, mate.
No, go
ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, I think it's a very important and very interesting discussion, especially in the context of a discussion that we had much earlier this morning in relation to what occurred in Christchurch just yesterday. And again, this notion of white suprematism, trying to exert its influence and power in society and essentially argue that nothing else really matters.
Hmm. I think it's pervasive because we've all grown up in these Western communities that we don't see it any different unless you are from one of those minorities.
We have some a bit of feedback from one of our listeners.
Well, yeah, but I also think that, you know, when you look at white supremacy and you look at the people that espouse it, they're making an assumption that being white is going to give you many, many more opportunities in some instances. Yes, it does, but because opportunities are closed off to others. But the reality is the people who are espousing it, the white people who are espousing it, are usually intellectually, politically or socially at the bottom of the barrel. And they see that... No, that's the truth. And they have a perception that white people get a better go at things, and I agree, in a lot of cases, in most cases, they do because of the institutionalised racism. But these people that are espousing that and take these actions are at the bottom of the barrel. So they just want to rise above the plug hole, which they actually can't. That's where they belong. But I find that, you know, a real challenge that these folk that are doing this and people in our community, let's face it, saying I'm not going to have a relationship with a person of colour or another race, guys, when you say that, you're at the plug hole
and
you're going to go down
and
that's where you belong.
And think about, you know, what impact you're really having.
Yeah.
Mitch, you mentioned Indigenous Sex earlier on. Could you tell us a bit about what that initiative is and how it works?
So it actually celebrated its 7 years on Twitter yesterday. So it's a rotating Twitter account set up by a guy, Gamilaroi man Luke Pearson, in terms of his frustrations with mainstream media. And so it's been an opportunity for a diverse range of Indigenous voices to express various perspectives on whether it's professional or personal. So it's a Twitter account that you can follow at IndigenousX. It's got about 45,000 followers. For each 7 days, there's a new host. And it's a fabulous way for allies in particular to learn and educate themselves as well, because people are giving, you know, so much of their perspectives and their labour. And
I need to spend more time on Twitter, Macca.
Twitter's the place to be.
I need to spend more time on Twitter.
But I follow it, and now I know, because when I read it, and then I find, oh, you know, it's a bit different to the last week or the 2 weeks ago. It's a slightly different...
And you hadn't worked out why that was happening.
No, well, you know, perhaps I should read the whole thing, but, you know, I read the tweets and I go, actually, yeah, that's... Now I... Thanks for that.
So to be somebody who's a host, what does that involve?
In our communities, everyone knows everyone. So, not really, but yeah, I've known Luke for a number of years, and so that came up through that opportunity. Yeah.
Mitch, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for the work that you're doing, because I think expressing the arguments that you're doing are just so important for us to all engage with.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.